It's Friday, the 29th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Chris Johnson, Jeff Ayres, and David Lee. Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Loot Crate and Mr. Frizzante. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Mr. Frizzante and sponsor the podcast for an episode, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be the sponsor of this show. So thank you again, Mr. Frizzante, and everyone who has done that so far throughout this season. It has been fantastic. We had a quiet day in the NBA today, just the one game on. I guess the NBA wasn't looking to go up against the NFL draft. Those of you who are interested in the NFL, I hope your team got someone that you were interested in. There was a few interesting stories, obviously, throughout the NFL draft. My knowledge on the NFL has dropped astronomically over the last couple of years. I do not know a single thing that was going on in the NFL and in college football, and I used to be right up with everything. Don't know anything, so I'm not going to talk about it because I don't know what I'm talking about. But
let's get to it.
And when I talk about it, we're going to talk about the Boston Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks and all of the action that we had on Thursday. It was only one game. It was a bit of a stomping from the Hawks, but the monstrous DFS line of the night was Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics. He braved through an ankle injury. He played 43 minutes. He went 25-3-10. He had a triple one, and he put up 44.6 FanDuel points. Actually, probably just a quick note. Yesterday, I didn't have a podcast because as the time I normally record, the sites weren't having any contests. Like DraftKings had a two-day contest in their lobby. One contest, that was it. FanDuel had nothing. Moneyball had nothing. None of the other sites had any other contests running that were including Thursday's game. So I thought there's no point me going out there and putting up a show talking about Friday's games in advance when none of the sites are doing it. I wake up the next morning and FanDuel's got all these multi-day contests. There's more happening at DraftKings. So I felt like a bit of a dick. I apologize for that. Obviously, we're going to be covering the three games on Friday in today's show. So I do apologize for yesterday's podcast not being there. And trying to cover those two-day slates is pretty tricky. I'm going to talk about the value DFS play of the day from Thursday. And it was Kyle Korver. He was just priced at 4,100. And he's had a really good series, to be honest. He's been a little bit down this season, as we all know. But he's been great in this series. 36 minutes for Korver, 14-9. He hit two threes. He had three assists. He had a steal. He had two blocks. He hit all four of his shots. He hit all four of his free throws. You basically can't ask for a better performance than what you got from Kyle Korver. On the flip side, we're going to talk dud of the night, and that was Jared Sullinger, who's been pretty much the dud of the entire playoffs. He went from being a guy who was getting consistent 27 minutes a night throughout the season, a top 80 sort of fantasy player in seasonal leagues, to a guy who's almost unplayable at the moment. He played only 7 minutes here and went 2-4. His price was still at 5,000. He's heading into restricted free agency. What sort of contract Sullinger's going to get, I've got no idea. Will it be in Boston? Will it be somewhere else? Who knows? He has fallen off tremendously. The Celtics, They were better without him. I still maintain that Olynyk is the best big man on that team, but he was obviously hurting and he was limited as well, and he didn't look great when he did hit the court. But Sullinger took a dramatic fall as the season went off. Someone just alerted to me that I've got the DFS plays of the day on the screen already. Sneak peek to later on. Thank you, Daniel, for doing that. If you are watching the video, you can obviously see the DFS plays of the day, but you can't anymore because I've taken them off, but my explanation for those will come later. As I mentioned earlier, today's podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. And Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than 20 bucks a month, and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Each month, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe, and you receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It is all over. If you are interested in what Loot Crate has to offer, and why wouldn't you be? Because they've got great stuff there, and it's a great help to the podcast if you go and do a visit their site. But don't go to boring old Loot Crate. Don't Google Loot Crate. Just type in the address in your address bar, lootcrate.com/redrock. That tells the guys at Loot Crate that you have come directly from this podcast. So it gives me a little bit of cachet, and I can go, hey, look at these people who have come from listening to this podcast come to your great site. So go ahead and use that web address, lootcrate.com/redrock. And if you're going to sign up for a new subscription, it's $3 off if you use the coupon code, which is REDROCK as well. That's the common coupon code we use through most of the promotions that we do have on the site. So if you're looking to buy that for yourself or as a present for someone, make sure you're using that coupon code REDROCK. One word, of course. All right, not going to do a perfect DFS lineup because it was only one game. Not much point in doing that. We're going to transition straight into looking at the games and breaking down the three games that are happening on Friday and trying to work out the best way to set some DFS lineups there. The first one of those games is the Miami Heat, and they are going to be taking on the Charlotte Hornets. It is game 6. The Hornets are up 3-2. We're back in Charlotte. The Hornets are favored by 2. The total is 191 points. Hassan Whiteside dealing with a sore hand. He will be playing. Spencer Hawes has been ruled out for the next week with a knee issue. Tyler Johnson is considered questionable. Nick Batum is playing, and Cody Zeller is playing. So injury-wise, thankfully, not a lot to worry about. Let's look at the point guards here. And on this entire slate of games, I think that you have to go, you have to get an expensive point guard. You have to use an expensive center, an expensive small forward, shooting guard, and one of your point guard positions is where you go cheap, and we'll talk about that a bit later. Kemba Walker at 8,100, I don't think he's the best option on the board, but it's definitely not a terrible guy to look at. There are a couple of guys at that $8,000 price point that are worth looking at. Walker's been pretty good. He's averaged 38 points across the last three, just a 30 in the last one, but at home, closeout game potential. Kemba could be a massive play here. So at 8,100, I do really like him here. Goran Dragic has been putrid throughout these playoffs. He's at 6,300, and I keep thinking a game is going to happen for Goran. A game is going to happen. If it didn't happen in game 5 and at 6,300, you're going to need him to go for 30, 32 points. I'm not sure I expect him to do that. He's averaged just 22 across the last three, 24 across the five games so far in the series. It's not enough. In a tournament, yeah, fine. He's a punt-worthy option because he's just been so bad. I imagine his ownership percentage will be quite low, but he's given me no confidence that he's going to be able to do this or going to be able to, you know, reverse course and change things around. At shooting guard, we know that Nick Batum is going to be playing, but he is going to be playing off the bench. So that is going to allow, well, the last time he played off the bench, he played about 25, 27 minutes for the Hornets. So I think Jeremy Lin is still in play. He's at 4,900. He's averaged 28 across the last three games, two without Batum, one with Batum coming off the bench. And at 4,900, a chance for him to just get 25, 26 points makes him a really good shooting guard option, Lin. Courtney Lee has been getting a lot of minutes. He turns it into not much. He's averaging just 15.5 points across the series. He's at 3,700. And yes, he could have a decent game, but I just don't feel like there's much upside with Lee. His highest score in this series has been under 20 points. Joshy Richardson, same sort of story. His highest score has been 21. Not a big performance from him. He's at 4,000. Not a massive fan of using him when there are other cheap options at shooting guard around. If you're spending up at shooting guard, which I don't think is necessarily the best way to go, but Dwayne Wade at 7,600, you have to think that Wade's going to be putting a lot into this game 6, keeping his season alive, maybe putting up a big performance. He's been good in this series, averaging almost 35 points per game. At 7,600, I have no qualms about putting him into a lineup and expecting him to give you that 35 points, 36, maybe with 40-point upside. I reckon he's a pretty decent play in both tournament and cash game situations. Jeremy Lamb, Gerald Green, Troy Daniels, unlikely they're going to have an impact. Nick Batum is at 6,600, so the salary's dropped quite a bit, but he is averaging just 21.5 points across the games that he has played so far in this series. Not great, and he's been limited by that ankle problem, obviously. With him probably not getting to 30 minutes, he might, but unlikely he gets to 30 minutes. Not that interested. In a tournament, it'll be totally contrarian to get Batum in there, but I don't love it. Joe Johnson at 4,800. He hasn't been spectacular. He's averaging 20 points across the five games, but he put up a nice 27 in the last game. And him, along with Wade, I think are going to have to do a lot of creating of shots and are going to have to be big-time scorers for this team in game 6. So I can see him having another 25 to 28 sort of point performance. My confidence level in it is pretty low. But if there's a guy that I'm punting on as a shooting guard, or no, as a small forward, sorry, Joe Johnson's going to be that guy. Justice Winslow had a nice game in game 5, put up 21 points, but he's averaged just 15 across this series. He's not worth looking at, in my opinion. At power forward, Frank Kaminsky played 27 minutes in the last game, even with Batum back, and with Batum back on the bench again, you'd think that Kaminsky's going to get 25-plus minutes. We know that Spencer Hawes is out, so any minutes that he was playing should be absorbed by Kaminsky, by Zeller, by Jefferson. At 3,600, I reckon he, if you're looking to save money, it's at power forward, and there are no high-priced power forward options around, so you're going to have to go cheap at that position. Kaminsky's a pretty good option. 3,600, 20 points. He gets 20 points, he's made you back your money. He gets 18 points, he's made you back your money. So I think that Kaminsky at 36 is worth looking at. Marv Williams at 5,200 has been extraordinarily up and down. It's real tough to trust him in cash, but the last game he was good. He put up 34 points in that one. Terrible in game four, great in game three, terrible in games one and two. Really hard to know what you're getting out of Marvin. And across the series, he's averaging under 20 points, including a couple of decent performances. At 5,200, though, it's not a lot to spend. You could pair him and Kaminsky as your two power forwards, and it wouldn't be horrific. I don't mind using Marv. Luol Deng at 6,600, he just feels like he's $600 too expensive. He got 26 points in the last game. He's averaging a bit under 30. He just doesn't feel like he's going to really be someone who's going to consistently get you that 34, 33-point mark, more like a 25 to 27-point guy. Josh McRoberts played 16 minutes in the last game, eliminating Amari Stoudemire from the rotation. We don't know if that will happen again in Game 5, but he didn't produce enough anyway, so no interest there. Same goes with Amari Stoudemire. At centre, Hassan Whiteside is at 8,200. Centre's a place I think you have to spend up on, especially in a cash game. 8,200 for Whiteside. He's been okay, averaging 35 in the series, but just 30.5 across the last three games. He definitely has been a big decrease in what he's been doing since those first two big games. He's going to want to perform well. He was really poor defensively at the end of Game 5. He just sort of gets himself out of position. Despite the block numbers, he gets himself out of position a lot, and it leads to some trust issues with the coaching staff with him. He's still going to get his 32 minutes because they have no one behind him, but does he get 40 points? I think that's the concern with Whiteside. Cody Zeller, you know I'm a big fan of Cody Zeller, but at 4,100, he's just not getting enough minutes. He's on the bench unit again. He's playing really well. He's closing games for them, but it's not translating into DFS. Al Jefferson, he's too highly priced for me. 5,700, he's averaging 25 across the series. I don't have confidence in him when he could very easily get dragged and sit on the bench and play your 21 minutes and provide 10 points. He's not the guy for me. The next game, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Portland Trail Blazers. We have another lower seed looking to close out the series at home. The Blazers are favored by 10. The total is 198. We know the situation with Chris Paul. We know the situation with Blake Griffin, and that opens up value for Austin Rivers. He's at 4,200. He's almost a must-play guy in cash and in tournaments. I think he's worth looking at. Now, he wasn't awesome in Game 1. Well, not Game 1, in Game 4. He put up 18 points only, but at 4,200, it's almost returning value on a really terrible performance. His salary rose by only $200. We know he can put up big numbers. 26 to 27 shouldn't be crazy to think of for Austin Rivers. On the other side, if I'm spending up for a point guard, which I reckon pairing Rivers and a high-priced point guard is the way to go, Lillard's the guy I want. He's at home. He's in a closeout situation. He has Austin Rivers guarding him. He put up 35 in Game 4. I think this is prime for a massive Lillard game. At home, 40-plus should be the aim, and he's the guy that I want out of those three guys who are 8,000-plus. We'll talk about the other one later. Pablo Prigioni got some extra run. He's not going to be an impact guy, though. At shooting guard, I think it's CJ McCollum that we really got to look at here. At 7,100, he dropped 41 in Game 4. He's going to be not have the issue of Chris Paul switching onto him defensively, of the Clippers being broken down. He's at home. This is a big performance for McCollum, I reckon. 35-plus should be within grasp. Jamal Crawford, he had a huge game. He played 44 minutes in Game 4. He put up 30 points. And his salary rose to just 5,200. That's not a huge amount. He should be a mainstay of lineups as well. JJ Redick, good to see he played through that heel injury. He played 34, but if the Blazers start smashing the Clippers, they're not going to want to risk Redick out there to re-aggravate this heel problem. At 4,300, he is interesting. He did put up 26 in game four, but I'm very much hesitant to consider him as a cash game option. More of a tournament, hey, let's just see how he goes. Let's go contrarian against Crawford. But there's a lot of factors that are working against him. Alan Crabb was good in Game 4, 22 points. Gerald Henderson was good, put up 26 points. They're both at sub 4,000, so you could easily slot them in into a tournament and hope it goes off. Henderson is the guy that I would prefer over Crabb, but my confidence level in either of them, it's not real high. The small forward position, Al-Farouq Aminu, shockingly, wasn't able to replicate his career-high performance. He dropped just 21 points in Game 4. He's at 5,900. He's still an appealing target at that salary. It's not an awesome salary. It's not great, but it's worth considering. Mo Harkless at 5,200, I do like. He had 30 in the last game. He's averaging 22.5 across the series despite a real struggling start. At 5,200, he's going to play minutes. The matchup problem that Blake Griffin provided for him is no longer there. Jeff Green, Paul Pierce, Luke Marmute, who didn't even play in the last game, aren't concerns for Harkless. So I do really think that him getting 30 minutes is not... It shouldn't be in doubt at all. I really like what Harkless can do here. Wes Johnson, Paul Pierce, Marmuta. We're never using Marmuta, but Pierce and Johnson, maybe you'd look at him in a tournament. But in that first game without Griffin and without Paul, Johnson played 13 minutes, Pierce played 10. They just didn't get into the game at all. That's because the guy who got the majority of the playing time is Jeff Green. He played 37 minutes, he put up 32 points. He's at 4,900. He is one of the power forwards you definitely should be looking at using. The salary's risen, but only $200. He's still under 5,000. Yes, Jeff Green can be terrible, but they're going to have to give him minutes and somebody's going to have to score, and I think it's going to have to be Green. Eddie Davis at 3,500. He's just not getting enough run. And they're the only power forwards who are in this game. At center, DeAndre Jordan is a real solid guy for me here. He's at 46 points. He scored 46 points in game four. He's at 8,300. This is where you spend up. You save your money at shooting guard. You save your money at power forward, and you get DeAndre Jordan in at center. If you don't have that 8,300 and you want to go cheaper, Mason Plumlee at 6,200 is as good, if not better, option. He's been superb in this series. He's averaging 39 points across the last three games when they've really unlocked his potential and what he can do. And I think that 30-plus should be an easy thing for Plumlee. Now, yeah, Plumlee overall, we look on Basketball Monster, his ratio looks the best out of all of the centers. It comes down, if you've got $2,000 spare, I wouldn't be putting Plumlee in just so because he's got a better ratio. You take that 2,000, you put it on Jordan, you put it on Whiteside, and you hope that they get 5 to 6 more points than you, even though it might not seem the greatest play or the greatest value at the time. It's about, okay, I've got this 2,000. I can't spend it anywhere else. Let's put Jordan in. But both guys are equally interesting and superior options at center. Cole Aldrich, my boy, put up 22 points in game four. It's just not going to happen. The minutes just aren't going to be there unless something happens to DeAndre, which is always a possibility, but you can't predict that sort of thing. The last game of the night, the Toronto Raptors and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 2.5. The total is 194.5 points. Let's look at the point guards. The other guy over 8,000 in this three-game slate is Kyle Lowry. He is at 8,000 exactly. He has been... yeah, low-key brutal in this. He's averaging just 30 points across the last five. They're in Indiana to close out on the road with a 3-2 lead, the Raptors. People are going to be on Kemba. They're going to be on Lillard. Not many people are going to be on Lowry. So if you're looking in a tournament, he is the guy, and you want to go contrarian, he is a guy to consider. In a cash game, he was not the guy that I'd be looking at. It's Lillard and it's Kemba who are neck and neck. I take Lillard marginally. But Lowry in a cash game is a contrarian guy to look at. George Hill has been great the last two games. He's averaging 26 points across his last three. He's another guy you can go contrarian instead of Austin Rivers. At sub 5,000, he's at 4,700. He's averaging the 26. He had 26 in the last game. You have to consider using George Hill at that nice, solid number if you don't want to be using, say, Austin Rivers. Corey Joseph, he's at 3,600. The numbers just don't come in big enough quantities for him. And with other cheap options out there, I don't think we really need to consider too much about Corey Joseph. At shooting guard, Monte Ellis has been dreadful since those first two big games. He's at 5,500 now. He's... What do you do with Ellis? He's averaging 19 points across the three games. He's back at home. He's someone I might look at, but I'm definitely look how much Jeremy Lin is out there. CJ McCollum are guys that you want to look at. Ellis, not for me. DeMar DeRozan, if you don't want to go Wade, DeRozan's a guy to go for. 42 points in game five. Maybe he's figured something out. Maybe not, but maybe he has. At 7,500, he's not a bad investment, but not someone I'm massively interested in. Solomon Hill, you know my thoughts on him. As a punt option, 3,600, he might get you 20 points and be a difference maker, allowing you to stack up in other areas. Normie Powell also played well, and I think that Powell will have to get 20-plus minutes in this game. He showed how superior he is to Terrence Ross, and at times he can be a better player than what Joseph is out there at times. At 3,600, Powell is a great tournament punt option. Stuckey, Ross, no thanks. Small forward, Paul George. Almost have to lock him in. He's at 9,400. He had 64 points in the last game. He said he's going to go out there, and if he has to, he'll play all 48 minutes. He's going to get 40-plus minutes. You have to, when you're building a lineup, you have to lock him in. He is basically, this guy must be in my lineup. and work everything else out around it. He's averaged 45 points across this series. Is at 9,400 an absolute no-brainer to me? Damari Carroll, on the other hand, at 4,500, is struggling to even get to 20 points a game. He's averaging just 14 in the series, 19 across the last three. He might have a big game coming up soon. That's a possibility. He's restricted to tournaments. That's it. CJ Miles, no thanks. At power forward, we're looking at Miles Turner, who's been good the last three, averaging 27 points, but he's at 5,600. So he's been playing well, but his value is sort of stuck right at that 5,700 mark. And he's just not providing much more on top of that. He's a risky play, in my opinion. Patrick Patterson at 3,700, really cheap. And you're going to have to go cheap at power forward, as I mentioned. Don't love Patterson. Turner has been quite good on him defensively. Not a massive fan of Pat here. Luis Scola out of the rotation, thankfully, in the last game. Clearly, we're not using him, nor Lavoy Allen. At center, Jonas Valanciunas had a great start to the series. He's been limited by coaching and by playing time. Again, so that's coaching as well. Not enough post-ups for him, not enough playing time. That's really an issue. 6,200, though, you can throw him out there and he can put up big numbers. He just needs 30-plus minutes, and that's what we need to see. He's averaging 43 points per 36 minutes in the series. So you give him 35 minutes, 33 minutes, you're going to get a big fantasy return. Projecting that is tough with Casey, though. Yanmi Hinmi at 4,800, he's very much up and down. I think if you're going cheap at center, he's definitely the guy to look at, but it's really more of a GPP situation than a cash game because, look, he was great. He had 45 points in game four. In game five, he had 9. He's very up and down with that sore back, and it's really tough in a cash game. Biombo was great in game five. He had 30 points in 24 minutes, played over Valanciunas down the stretch, but I don't think that will be something that will be repeated. It's something that Casey looks at in a game-by-game basis, see how things are working. Biombo was part of that massive comeback that they had, so he stayed on the court. At 4,100, he's maybe worth a look, but I really don't envisage that being something that happens again. That's it. That's the games. They're done. Let's look now, if you didn't see them earlier, at the DFS plays of the day. At point guard, Austin Rivers at 4,200 is the cheap guy. I don't like any of the middle range guys. There's only really Goran Dragic that fits into that spot, and I talked about him already. And if I'm going big, it's Dame Lillard at 8,200. Shooting guard, Jezza Lynn at 49, Jamal Crawford at 52, and Dwayne Wade at 7,600. The small forwards, Joe Johnson, 48, Mo Harkless at 52, and Paulie George at 94. The power forwards, Jeff Green, 49, Marv Williams, 52, and no high-priced power forwards are on the board for this one. And at center, it's Yan Mahinmi at 48, Mason Plumlee at 62, and DeAndre Jordan at 8,300. We are done, guys. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. If you're watching this on YouTube, give the video a thumbs up. And if you're listening via iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast capture aggregator, that's the right word. Subscribe, you'll never miss an episode, and leave a review where you can. It really, really helps the show grow, and it gives me something to take to advertisers and say, hey, look at all these people who love this podcast, and helps the show grow and become better and help you out more and more. Of course, you know about Basketball Monster. Go and check out basketballmonster.com for everything we've got over there, and their Twitter or our Twitter account at BaskMonster. Make sure you guys are checking that out for all the late breaking news, and you can check how that's reflected in our projections on the website. We are done for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.